Produce Pear Radio Show is brought to you by the Pear Bureau Northwest, growers of delicious, nutritious, sweet, and juicy fresh pears. Look for the USA sticker on the fruit, and you'll know that you have a genuine pear from the Northwest. Stick around the Produce Pear right after this.
I'll bring you apples, peaches, bananas, and pears.
From the San Francisco Bay, it's the Produce Pear, your food show on the enjoyment of fresh fruits and vegetables. What's in season? What's fresh? At the store, at the farmer's market, in your backyard, and on your table. Speaking of fresh, here's your host, America's natural grocer, Dan the Produce Man, and Guido the Gardener.
Welcome to the Produce Pear, folks. I'm Dan the Produce Man, along with
Guido the Gardener.
We're live at Bay Area Herb Company, right here in, Bay Area Herbs, excuse me. Let's start all over again.
Read that green part.
I'm trying to, but Guido. All right, let me try it again.
Bay Area Herb Specialty.
You said it. That's perfect. Okay. Anyway, we're live here on the Produce
Pear. Read the green part on the card.
Read the green. That's Guido. We love it. Okay. Steve Horowitz is with us, and John St. Augustine. They are the folks here who run the Bay Area Herbs Company. Phil Fendian is with us from Renaissance Foods, who brings us this fine squash. And we're having a good time today. Chef Paul Prudhomme and a whole lot going on. So let's talk about the Bay Area Herb Company real quick a little bit. Well, actually, why don't we introduce the squash first? Phil, tell us about this buttercup squash.
What we've done, Renaissance Foods, is we'll be processing it, cutting it into quarters and halves, and we've got a diced line here, and we're working, and it'll be available in selected markets.
Now, is this going to be year-round squash?
No, it's very limited. It's like a 6 weeks. New Zealand just started harvesting, and they'll finish harvesting in a few more weeks.
It's like cherry season. You got to get them while you can.
Right, and they have had a lot of heavy rains down there, so it's very limited.
Phil, this is a very rich tasting squash, very delicious. How does it differ from other winter squash varieties that we grow here in California?
It's part of the turban family, what makes it different is that it's the soil that it's grown in New Zealand. Most of the crop ends up in export to the Far East, especially to Japan. New Zealand, we've been working with the New Zealand Buttercup Council trying to get it to come to the United States. Very tasty, very colorful squash, and the minute you cut it and slice it, it's got this deep golden color, and it makes it very attractive on a produce stand.
Very
and
good
we sure vegetable. Know that it can cook up well. Chef Paul showed us that. What I've got in my hand here is a clamshell, a consumer pack of diced New Zealand buttercup squash, and this has everything in it. It's got half inch or so diced, along with Chef Paul's seasoning mix. I mean, you've got a whole side dish right here. This
just
is great.
Just flip it over and you got the recipe. You're ready to go.
Yeah.
Sell
by date and everything.
Okay. Stores. What store can we get this in now?
Right now, it's available at your local Safeway store in Northern California.
There we go. Boy, you can't beat it. Thanks, Phil.
You're welcome.
You gonna stick around?
I'll stick around.
Are you gonna feed us later?
Yeah, we're gonna feed you, and it's been great coming on your show.
Oh, great!
Okay, we're with Steve Horowitz and John St. Augustine here at Bay Area Herbs. They're gracious enough to host this event today, and we certainly are happy to have you here on the Produce Pear. Why don't you tell us a little bit about Bay Area Herbs Company? Because you go on the produce market, you've got the Oakland produce market, you've got the San Francisco produce market, and you've got South San Francisco produce market, but there's really only one distributor for herbs on the wholesale markets here in the Bay Area.
Yeah, well, we like to believe that's the case. There is only one. There's a few people out there. We're one of the larger distributors of fresh culinary herbs and specialty produce in the Bay Area. And it's been fueled by the California cuisine movement out here and the big demand on the restaurants and consumers' awareness of how to cook with fresh herbs. And from that awareness has become the demand on specialty produce, things like white asparagus, edible flowers, rainbow radishes.
And mini cauliflowers.
Hey, these are
green
great.
And white. A little Romanesco there.
That's right. Yeah, we're big on babies here. We have lots of baby vegetables, baby carrots, baby squashes, and as you pointed out, the baby cauliflower. With me right here is John St. Augustine, who's one of our specialty buyers. He could tell you a little bit about some of that stuff.
Hey, John, that's a great item right there. I think the cauliflowers and the Romanesque, I think this purple one's actually a broccoli, isn't it?
I believe it is, yes. These items truly are really nice, you know, because they offer out so many creative ideas for chefs, you know, to use a product. And the color's great. They cook up nice and evenly. One thing that's nice about this purple cauliflower here, it doesn't bleed when you cook, so you don't see it, you know, the color moving out through your sauce. It just stays right there, you
so,
know,
so
with the right
when
color.
You cook that, that'll stay fairly purple.
Correct. Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful.
You know, if you steam it, it's going to lose slightly some of its color, you know, but most of that purple will stay right in there in that tint.
You know, I would eat that with the leaves and all. I mean, in the old days, we used to eat cauliflower leaves because all the cauliflower came packed with nice big leaves on it.
Absolutely.
Today, you don't get that. Here, they're not wrapped in cellophane like you would find in a retail pack. They're babies, so I would actually cook that somehow, maybe saute it or even grill it if I can get it to a point where I can, or maybe do one and then the other, and then actually pick it up by the stem and just eat it like that. Like
manja, hey!
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, I too remember years back when cauliflower, you would go to the farmer's markets, and the entire cauliflower would be wrapped in its greens, you know. And to me, that's just the way it should be shipped, but, you know, because of the retail demand and things like that, and cutting down time with preparation, it's now those precious leaves are taken away. But you can find it that way, and that's something. Sure, you can find it in organics, and then the farmers market, and perhaps you might even see it here at Bay Area Herbs one day. You know.
Great. Okay, we're talking with Steve Horowitz and John St. Augustine here at Bay Area Herbs Specialties. Phil Fendian is with us, Chef Paul Prudhomme, and we'll be back right after this. Don't go away. We got a lot more on the produce pair. Buttercup Squash Bisque, coming up in the next segment with Chef Paul Prudhomme. Welcome to the Produce Pair. We're live at South San Francisco Produce Market, the Golden Gate Produce Terminal, and we are live at Bay Area Herbs Specialties. Chef Paul Prudhomme is joining us again because we have another great recipe here. This is a buttercup squash bisque.
Bisque, right.
And man, is it good.
So, thank you.
Now, I saw you put a decent amount of butter in this pan.
Yes, we put butter in to start with. What I'm trying to do with the butter is to give it a background flavor, because the squash is pretty mild. And the bisque is very heavy and very thick, so you need a lot of flavor in it. And what I did was to put the butter in, and I just barely melted it. Then I put the squash in and sort of browned them together. You can see little bitty brown flecks in there. Well, what I'm doing with that, or my goal here, is to push the flavor of the squash and push it as hard as I possibly can. And butter is one of the great things to do that.
And it smells great.
It really does. See how the squash smell is accented?
Absolutely.
You know, and it's from the butter. And so we're going to add some stock to it, because what I've got here is a pureed squash, and it's a paste. And so I want to thin that paste out, because it really is a heavy paste. And then we're going to put some stock in it. And you can use any kind of stock that you wish. I'm using a chicken stock here, and it's a mild chicken stock. You could use a vegetable stock or, you know, whatever you have, a chicken bouillon. And then I'm going to actually make like a very thin sauce to start the bisque with, because I want it to be thick and I want it to be rich. And I want the texture to be good. I don't want it to be pasty. And so I'm going to start adding ingredients that's going to give a change of taste. You know, most of the time I'll start a dish and I'll put the onions in the beginning and brown them like I did with the first dish. With these, I'm going to put the onions in and I'm not going to brown them, because I want the natural taste of onions. And a bisque cooks for a while. And so we're just going to let those cook. I'm also doing some unusual stuff, like putting some parsnips in it. I'm going to put a little roasted garlic in it. Then I'm going to add some greens to it. And that's basically the recipe. After that, what you need to do is just let it sit there and simmer and let it become a bisque on its own. You can add cream to it. We're going to add a little cabbage to it.
The cabbage was excellent.
So, yeah, we give it some texture. We give it a good, deep flavor. And we do it with things that sort of have relative taste, or taste that complement each other. And so all these things are going to give richness to the bisque and give texture and taste to it.
So now, after these ingredients, time and temperature is pretty much the rest of the bisque.
Absolutely. Okay. We're going to add the herbs and spices now. You know, to me, herbs and spices is one of those things that are the very powerful part of the dish. And when you put them in is very important. Usually I'll put them in at the beginning,
yeah, the
and
first
let them
dish,
let them get
you
some
put it in at the very, very beginning.
Right,
now
some
you're
dry
putting
heat.
It in at the end.
This one, I'm using some sweet spices in it. And when you use sweet spices, I prefer not to apply that dry heat. And then, because sweet spices become romantic, or they become aromatic, and they give you emotional taste when they're just boiled in liquid. It's one of the things we've used. I mean, teas are basically, you know, from the spice family. But sweet spices really give you great, wonderful flavors.
How about a basic question, like what technically is a bisque?
Bisque is a thick soup.
Okay.
And it can have cream in it. It doesn't have to have cream in it. It generally has cream in it, you know, and it's a very rich, thick soup. Food is one of the most emotional things that we do.
Well, it personalizes.
You know, I mean, it does that. I mean, we all know that, you know, relationship between a man and a woman is the most really emotional thing that anybody does. But food is more emotional in the sense that it's more important, and you got to do it more often. And you can do it more often.
Yeah, you know what, Chef Paul? I think I'm going to stay away from that.
Okay. Well, but, I was going to say, it might be a little easier, too. So you're adding the greens in a little later on?
Yes, I want the greens to be the finish, and I want them to just get a bright, bright color to them.
Okay.
And so we're going to add the greens now. And you see the texture changing. It's starting to get thick.
That looks like red chard to me. Are there?
It is char, yeah.
How about beet greens?
It could be beet greens.
It is char.
But you can use beet greens?
You could use
dandelion?
Yes.
Or,
you know, the neat thing about cooking is that, you know, if you got a recipe and it calls for a certain thing, if you know something is a relative of it, you know, it's in the same ballpark, 98% of the time it's going to work. Very seldom will it fail. You know, but I think it's so important to be able to understand how much herbs and spices in it, how the flavors have come together.
Sure.
You have to taste what you cook. I love the beginning of it. You know, when you got to watch it, it's hot. But you get a beginning of it, and you get a rush of squash, and all the things start falling in line behind it.
Thank you.
And it just changes rapidly.
We're live at the South San Francisco Produce Market. All that noise you hear in the background, forklifts clanking, pallets of produce everywhere.
Oh, that is marvelous.
And right in the middle of all of this hustle and bustle, we're sitting here cooking with Chef Paul Prudhomme. Amazing. Only on the Produce Pair can you cook.
I'm learning a ton of stuff today.
The last thing I'm going to do is I'm going to try to push the flavors a little bit with a little bit of jalapeno. And we're not going to put much in because you don't want it to be hot, because the herbs and spices already got a taste. But that ought to just give it a really whiff of change.
It ought to
finish it, yes.
Okay.
And I think the really way to find out if there's any basis for that, I mean, you've seen how small amount we put in. Let's see if the taste has changed. What I think probably the reason I chose jalapenos, it's because it's green and it needs a green flavor to it. Because right at the end, that's why you put the greens in right at the end, is you need a green flavor to make it, to finish the taste.
Okay, and then we're up against the clock here. So that was your last ingredient, the jalapeno pepper, and then you let this cook for about how much longer?
I would say about another 5 minutes, and this is done. As soon as everything is to a place where it's not raw anymore and it's just getting crunchy, because, you know, it's nice to have nice crunch in a bisque soup.
But this here, start to finish, was what? How long was it?
Not that long at all.
Yeah, and we reduced the amount, which made it easier to do. But if you made a big batch of bisque, it would probably take about a half hour.
Look at that. Delicious and nutritious with that squash and the greens in there. And the parsnips and the cabbage. You've got a very nutritious dish here.
Thank you, Chef Paul Prudhomme.
Welcome back to the Produce Pair Radio Show. I'm Guido the Gardener, along with my partner in produce crime,
Dan the Produce Man.
And we have a very special show today with a very, very special guest, Chef Paul Prudhomme. Welcome, Chef Paul.
Thank you. Happy to be here. Freezing everything, but it's wonderful.
Yes. Yeah. At least you have a heating pad next to you here.
Yeah, we got a pan going. We got a little bit of good oil in it, and we got a fire underneath. And we're going to cook some squash. Buttercup squash.
Okay. So now, I just tasted something that you cooked already, the instant it hit my mouth, I can't explain the feelings. So, I mean, it was delicious is what I mean.
It's creamy.
Right.
It's thick. It's rich. It's got ham in it. It's wonderful.
Guido, you're always good at these things.
Dan, can you? I tell you what, why don't you talk for a while and I'll eat?
Oh, look at that.
Because you know what's going to happen.
You guys, it is go ahead a little and do that, and I'm going to start cooking.
And it's,
you know?
it's going to get cold on me.
I want Chef to sing again. I like that.
So what do we've got going on over there in that pan?
What we're going to do is we're going to add some onions to the pan. And that's sort of the beginning. It's the beginning of lots of the food we do in in Louisiana, because onions have a great texture and taste to food, and they have a great background taste. And what we're going to do is we're going to cook the onions first, and we're going to caramelize them, which means we're going to turn to change the color in them. And when you change the color in them with the fire, you actually take it and taking the acid and converting it to sugar. And it gets kind of sweet. If you take a taste of that, you know, what the squash we're eating,
yes.
You know, and it has a nice background taste, and it's yes. sort of brown. You know, it's sort of like something that's been roasted.
Yes,
and
yes.
And the squash wasn't roasted. It's coming from the onions.
Amazing. So, now, what heat should folks have the onions at?
I was just going to ask that. Is it a medium heat, high heat, low heat? Because when I start this, sometimes I'll end up just burning them.
Well, I think there's a lot of cues when you're cooking that's important to. You hear the noise that's going on. Listen, you know, to me, that is, you know, I mean, I can be looking the other way, and I can tell when the noise changes, when the color changes, and so what I'm going for with the fire is to get a good start on it and get things cooking, and as soon as I see the color started changing. You know, if it's too rapidly, I'm going to lower it down. So I've got about a good high fire going in the beginning. And when the onions start to brown, then I'm going to start turning the fire down. What else I got is some good ham. And brought the ham with me from Louisiana to make sure it was good.
Doesn't want to check the Bay Area here.
Oh, thanks, California.
Well, I didn't have time to, guys. I didn't have time to. I didn't want
to
just roll in somewhere, so I didn't know where I was at and get ham. You know,
yeah, that's
true.
I wanted to be good
ham.
Well, we have Guido, so that's good ham.
Between the two of us.
So we got some herbs and spices we're going to put into it.
Is that
your mix?
Yeah, this is one of my blends, and it's just a mixture of herbs and spices, the vegetable magic, and so.
Okay, vegetable magic, and this is available in stores across the country.
Yes, it's available in almost every market in the country, the vegetable magic and meat magic and seafood magic. And this is starting to have a really nice color change to it. The smell is changing. You're getting a brown smell out of it. So what we're doing is building flavors.
Okay. And next we have?
We're going to add a little bit of garlic to it.
But that's Guido's favorite.
A lot of bit of garlic.
It's Guido's here, so we're going to add more garlic.
There you go. Mine job.
All right. A little more garlic. And then we're going to let that cook a second or two. I've got orange peel. I've got stock. I've got the herbs and spices. And I got ham and the squash. And that's the whole recipe. And so we're going to take them right through it as it cooks. And right now, this is simmering. And, we're gonna go to the next point in just a minute.
Okay, while that simmers, folks, you're listening to the Produce Pair Radio Show. We're live at the South San Francisco Produce Market, also known as the Golden Gate Terminal. Chef Paul Prudhomme is our guest here today. I'm Dan the Produce Man, along with
Guido the Gardener.
All right, so we've got a young future chef here with us. What's your name?
Gavin.
Gavin, how old are you?
11.
And you're going to be a chef someday, aren't you?
I want to.
Yeah, look at that. What did you think of the squash?
Good.
Oh man, absolutely delicious, huh? You're gonna make these squashes here too?
Hopefully.
Is there a recipe that you're gonna take with you?
Yeah.
Alright, future chef, Gavin.
When you make the squash, are you gonna invite the produce pair? Say yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, very good.
Why am I being punished? Have I been so bad? I sat down at dinner and this is what I had. Boiled okra and spinach. It's dangerous. Fishy fish with a thousand bones cooked in asparagus.
Welcome back to the Produce Pair on this fine, fine, lovely day in the San Francisco Bay. I'm Dan the Produce Man, along with
Guido the Gardener.
Chef Paul Prudhomme is our guest. The onions are going, the garlic's going, the seasoning's going. He's just put the ham in, and we are making buttercup and ham medley.
I've got one complaint, though.
What's that, Guido?
Because all that marvelous aroma from all that cooking is going straight down the dock, away from me.
And a crowd comes this way.
Yeah,
look
at all the smiling faces down there.
It's like a cartoon when that smell of that smoke goes and people just float and start rising over to it.
The second half of the show, I'm going to park at the other end of the table.
And see, guys, they say that cooking is not a great profession. I mean, look how many people he's drawn. The only other thing I know, if we put a couple of girls up here, never bring this many people around, especially these guys, you know.
Oh, yeah, that's it. All my life in the produce business. Girls and squash, right?
Yeah, there you go. Oh, we've got that ham medley cooking.
All right,
yeah,
we got the ham cooking, and the ham's starting to brown. You can hear some crackling going on. I'll put the mic real close there.
Oh,
and
boy, that sounds good.
What's happening is that the heat is exploding cells in the onions and in the ham and stuff, and just sort of tying everything together. And it's really one of the things about cooking that really develops a lot of flavor and marries a lot of flavors together. And the ham is starting to get a nice smell to it and a nice flavor. Now I'm going to put the herbs and spices. And I like to put the herbs and spices in where there's no moisture in the pan. And the reason that I do is that the herbs and spices, even though they dry, they're basically raw. And so when you buy a bottle of herbs and spices in the supermarket or you get a bottle of mine, they're actually raw spices, even though they're dry. And so to cook them is you use dry heat, and it's going to convert them. It's going to make the oils come out, and it's going to give them more flavor, and it's going to have a better taste to it.
And I notice that it's just sticking to everything. There's nothing on the bottom of the pan in any liquid or anything. All the herbs are stuck right to the ham and the onions.
And the crackles
change. Oh, you hear
change.
A crackle.
Yeah, the crackles change. And, what happens is the herbs and spices accelerate heat because they got oil in it, and they got there's a lot of power to herbs and spices.
Right.
And it may sound silly, but it really accelerates the heat when you put them in, especially when the heat's dry like this. The smell is just awesome. It just changed.
Well, that's appropriate because we're at the Bay Area Herb Company here at the South San Francisco Produce Market
I put the squash in, and these squash are diced up, and they're about half-inch dices, and we put them in. We're going to mix them in with everything else. And then this dish is just about done. As soon as I get a good mix here, I'm going to put the stock in, and then all we got to do is just let it simmer. And just before I put the stock in, I'm going to put the orange zest in. I want the orange zest to accent the color that's on the squash.
Okay.
And so that's what I'm doing. It's very intense, and it's got an acidic taste to it, which helps the taste of the squash. And I mean, it would help the taste of anything, but specifically the squash. But one of the things that I do that people don't talk about much in cooking is I have found a relationship between colors of different ingredients that work better together. And so, instead of using grapefruit, which is a different color from the squash, using an orange zest gives you a better flavor, a better taste, a better match.
Oh, and Five Day is going to love you for that with their colorway, too.
It is. I mean, colors are amazing in cooking, and, we don't really think a whole lot about that on a daily basis, how important color is in cooking. Now I'm going to add a stock to it. Now, I'm going to tell you, if I added water to it, this would still be good. But when you add a stock to it, it just makes a huge amount of difference. Water's job on earth is to take away. You could take a tablespoon of poison and put it in your mouth, and it'd kill you. You could take that same tablespoon of poison and put it in 5 gallons or 10 gallons of water,
and it'll slowly kill you.
No, you could drink as much as you want. Right. And it's not gonna, it might get you sick, but it probably won't affect you near as bad as if. So what water does is dilute things. And so when you put it in your food as an ingredient, just straight water, you're going to diminish all the ingredients. You're going to diminish all the structure of the ingredients in it.
Okay.
And so if you take chicken bones or beef bones or pork bones or a vegetable peel, stocks don't cost much. And just put them in water and boil them, simmer them for a couple of hours. And instead of using water in your food, you start using those, and it's going to make a huge difference.
So any stock will work in this, or what works best in this?
Well, you got to be, you should be reasonable. I wouldn't put pork stock in this.
Okay.
Well, I wouldn't put beef stock in it because it's too strong for it. I'm cooking vegetables, so I'd probably use a vegetable stock. I could use a chicken stock. That would be okay because that's mild. And so just be reasonable with the thought of the stock and follow what you're cooking with it. And instead of using water, use stock, and I promise you'll improve your cooking 50%.
Folks that spend some time in the kitchen like I do, if I'm going to be cooking something, one something, two somethings, is I always have a pot of water going on the stove, and a little of this goes and a little of that goes. And then that way, at the end of my little session, I've got some stock. I put it in the freezer, and then I do exactly that. If I'm making, rice or polenta or whatever I've got something more flavorful than water, and something like this, that's where it would happen.
I'll tell you, if you take a stock that you've made and cool it down a bit and put it in the ice tray,
right.
and make cubes with it.
Yeah.
And then you take the cubes and just put them in a bag. And so anytime you want to enhance the flavor of something, just drop it in the dish. Drop the cube in, you know, and it just melts right in. It's
so great. That won't affect the temperature and cooking time and all that other jazz?
Oh, a couple of cubes of ice couldn't change a, you know, pot of food a whole lot. You know?
No, that's a better idea than what I do because I end up with like a whole quart of stock.
Yeah, you end up with this block
yeah.
that you got to hack at and stuff. You just use a tray, then put it in the bag.
Look at that. From Chef Prudhomme, I learned that right here on the Produce Bear Radio Show.
We are live at the South San Francisco Produce Terminal at Bay Area Herb Company. Chef Paul Prudhomme is our guest. You're listening to the Produce Bear Radio Show. We have got some great buttercup and ham medley going here on the stove. There's people around. They're eating the squash and the ham. They're loving it. We'll be back right after this.
Don't go away. Dan and Guido will be right back.
Okay, I'm Dan the Produce Man, and while we wait for Chef Paul Prudhomme's wonderful buttercup squash and ham medley to simmer and cook on the stove, we're going to check in with Mark Todd, the cheese dude, and we'll get back with Paul Prudhomme in the next segment.
Now back to the produce pair.
Oh, Larry the cheese! Oh, Larry the cheese! The cheese!
All right.
Oh, Larry the cheese!
A whole big bag of cheese balls and then run them on.
Two triple cheeseburgers side order fries.
Say cheese.
I mean, you don't like cheese, but you can love me any way that you please.
I'm Susie Cream Cheese because I've never worn fake eyelashes in my whole life.
This is America. I demand my cheese.
It's like no cheese I've ever tasted.
Cheese log, cylindrical and yellow.
Now then, some cheese, please, my good man.
Certainly, sir.
Mark Todd, the cheese dude, joins us, and spring has sprung. So we've got strawberries, we've got asparagus, we've got artichokes.
We got apricots.
And we have all kinds of great things coming out right now. What kind of cheese can we add to these items?
Anything you want.
Hey, there you go.
That's why we like him. Yeah, he's easy.
I usually like to start with a nice slab of Velveeta. And,
right.
No, actually, with the strawberries, there's a number of really fun things. When I think of strawberries and berries in general, I think of soft, and they're so fresh and tasty that I want to have something that's very soft and creamy to go with them. That's why, berries and cream is so popular. So in a case like that, I would probably run down to the store and grab the best creme fraiche I could find.
Yes.
And just take my strawberries and dip them in and just eat them luxuriantly. It's a fabulous combination of flavors, so the great sweet tartness of the dairy with the sweetness of the strawberry. So that's my favorite way. Mascarpone is also a very nice thing to do with strawberries, particularly if you flavor it. You can flavor your mascarpone with like a framboise or something like that to give it a little bit of a berry kick, and then use it in with berries or actually with cookies is good too. But it's also great with any kind of berries.
Hey, stick the pros.
Oh, that's right. Stick a strawberry on it.
There you go. So then we're talking some of the other great stuff that's out now. So the stone fruits, apricots are one of my very favorite fruits, and peaches particularly are dynamite. They're a little bit later, but with the apricots, typically I'm going to be using a mid-body cheese, a semi-soft cheese. I like it with a number of the cheeses from Europe. Some of the things like original Port Salut, it's beautiful. Of the stuff that we get over here, the plastic-wrapped stuff is not exactly real Port Salut. But any of the semi-soft cheeses, they're beautiful with things like the cheeses from Holland, Goudas and Edams. They're beautiful with that.
Those are a little bit...
They're a semi-firm-bodied cheese. Edam is a little bit harder than Gouda. Edam is made with part skim milk. Gouda is made with whole milk, so it's a little bit softer and creamier. Those are some of my favorite spring cheeses. With your asparagus, I do Gruyere. I melt a Gruyere over asparagus. Ooh, you can do asparagus Gruyere, and red onion pizza is outstanding.
Oh, yes. Remind me what the Gruyere is.
Gruyere is that's the Swiss cheese that has a washed rind. It's one of the two traditional cheeses that goes into fondue. It is like Emmental Swiss, but it doesn't have the big eyes. It's a firm, dense cheese, that very dark yellow butter color, and it has a very nutty and earthy flavor, much earthier than you get out of a Swiss cheese.
And it
melts. Would you shred it or melt it that way,
yes.
Or would you? Or
yeah,
grated,
absolutely.
I mean,
yeah, shred it. I would shred always. Okay. That's the cheese that you're going to find on top of your traditional French onion soup. Right. So that it's a great melting cheese. Most of the Swiss mountain style cheeses are great melting cheeses, and they go great with asparagus. I think they really bring out the flavor of the asparagus.
We're in.
All right, Mark Todd, the cheese dude, does it again.
Spring is sprung and we are here.
It was late one night by the pale moonlight. All the vegetables gave a spree. They put out a sign that said the dancing's at 9, and all the admissions were free. There was peas and greens and cabbage and beans. It was the biggest crowd you ever did see. And when old man Cucumber struck up that well, you should have heard them vegetables scream. Oh, the little turnip top was doing the backwards flop. The cabbage shook the shimmy and she could not stop. And old man Garlic dropped dead of the colic down at the barnyard dance this morning. Down at the barnyard dance.
All right, coming up in the next segment, we'll be back with Chef Paul Prudhomme. Going to see how that stuff is doing on the stove. Mm, it smells good.
Apples and oranges.
Boiled bananas and carrots, man.
Gathering rhubarbs is a harvest of bliss. Oh, rhubarb, she's the best on the disc.
Beans and cornbread.
I'm Chiquita Banana, and I've come to say
vegetables are very good for you.
Mom was right. Eating veggies keeps us healthy.
Miserable little turnip.
I'm a cucumber.
Thank you.
Okay, welcome back to the Produce Pair. I'm Dan the Produce Man along with
Guido the Gardener.
And Chef Paul Prudhomme is here with us, and this squash is a cooking. We've added the onions, the spices, the garlic.
The orange peel, the ham.
Yeah, can't forget the orange. Yeah.
Oh, man, absolutely delicious. And it looks like it's just about ready.
It's really neat because the squash gave out a great deal of starch in it, and it just kind of made a thickness to it, which is the texture we were looking for. And it's got about a couple more minutes to cook, and it's done. And I just tasted it, and it's at a very high level of taste right now. One of the things that's interesting when you cook things for a long time is that as it disintegrates, because the squash will, because what we've eaten that we had done before is almost like a, you know, it's like a hash. And so as the squash deteriorates and as the things that made it up the squash comes out into the sauce and it thickens it, also it's going to lower the seasoning.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
So it makes it a little more mild.
Yeah, it covers it. You know, covers the seasoning a bit. So you start out with a little more seasoning than you need in a dish like this, because when you, by the time you end up, and you can eat it cold and hot. If you got enough herbs and spices in it, cold and hot really works.
It's kind of like my kids. They come out wild, and I have to mellow them out.
You use a stick for that, though, right?
hey, two sticks. I know it's kids.
Okay, so this is great. We've got the buttercup and ham medley, which is absolutely delicious.
You know, there was a soup I saw in one of the recipes, and I'm a fan of hearty soups, squash soups. I'll make, you know, like a pumpkin soup or butternut squash soup. And this, given the fact that it does break down real nice, this would make a heck of a soup.
It makes a really good soup, and it really is quick to do, you know, and it comes out really good, and it stays a long time. You can reheat it, and the texture stays good. And so it's really a very versatile squash. It really is. I'd never seen it before because we don't have it in Louisiana. I didn't have it in Louisiana. It's starting to come in now. But when we first approached it, we looked at it and said, well, it looks like, you know, a lot of like our average squash. But the taste was different, but the real dramatic difference was the depth of taste and the texture to it.
You know, it's fantastic. And for this time of the year to have fresh buttercup squash, you can't beat it. It's really hearty in the whole bit. Now, speaking of squash.
Oh, yeah, here we go.
Folks around.